Today, college wrestlers and their coaches are taking on the federal law known as Title IX, or at least the Department of Education's interpretation of that law. Title IX was passed back in 1972 in an effort to give female students the same opportunity as males to compete in sports. Now, a lawsuit has been filed in federal court in Washington alleging that the law has punished male athletes. NPR's Barbara Bradley has a report.
Brock Warder has been wrestling since he was 4 years old. Warder would have been captain of his team this, his senior year at Marquette University. But last year, Marquette shut down the program because they had more male athletes than female athletes, and something had to change. Warder says it wasn't a money issue. For the past 8 years, alumni of the wrestling team, and not the school, have paid all the expenses. Besides, he says, Marquette has plenty of money.
Marquette is currently building a brand new library, a brand new dental school, and they're on their way to building a brand new athletic facility, but they don't have enough money to provide for another women's sport. I find it kind of a little fishy.
Fishy, he and others say, because it's an easy way not to fund women's sports. But in the meantime, male athletes are seeing their varsities and clubs disappear. In recent years, the Collegiate Wrestling Association says more than 40 wrestling programs have been shut down and more than 90 track and field programs. Now the National Wrestling Coaching Association and the wrestling clubs of three universities, Marquette, Bucknell, and Yale, are challenging the practice. Eric Pearson, who's with the Coaching Association, says they're not challenging the constitutionality of Title IX per se, as did previous lawsuits.
We think it's tremendous what's happened in the last 30 years since 1972 when Title IX was originally passed. What we're asking now is just a more reasonable, fair interpretation of the law. It's a good law, it's just poorly regulated.
I have sympathy with them, but I don't have a solution.
That's Donna Lopiano at the Women's Sports Foundation. She says wrestling teams are the victim not of Title IX, but of policy decisions by universities. They would prefer to boost money-making sports like football and basketball rather than fund a male and female team that won't bring in revenue. Lopiano says that's a policy decision, not a legal one.
Congress cannot tell an institution what it must or must not fund. It can't get into micromanagement. It can't say, well, gee, you can't drop your Russian program or you can't drop your chemistry program. And Congress can't say you must have wrestling.
Earlier challenges to Title IX have uniformly failed, so the plaintiffs are attacking the procedure. In 1996, the Department of Education reinterpreted a Title IX rule. The wording was changed. Instead of requiring colleges to offer a proportionate number of male and female participation opportunities, that is, chances to be on a team, the colleges must have an equal number of male and female participants, that is, actual players. Larry Joseph, the lead attorney in the case, says that changed the way the law is enforced, but the department did not allow the proper notice and comment period. Moreover, Joseph says, Congress never wanted to have athletic quotas, and that's the effect of the change.
If you imagine a school with a baseball team and a softball team, and there's 40 spots on each team, 40 gloves, 40 spots on the bus, if only 15 women go out, then the opportunities were equal, 40 opportunities for each gender, but the athletic director would have to kick 25 guys off the team to have a 15-15 split.
Women lawyers and athletes don't see it that way. They say there's no quota because schools can comply with Title IX merely by showing a steady increase in female sports, even if it's not proportionate to men. Moreover, they say, Title IX has hardly outlived its purpose. According to a federal study, men still have 30% more slots and receive far more money in athletic scholarships, about $160 million more. Marcia Greenberger at the National Women's Law Center says there's still a long way to go.
It's as if you say women have made great strides in equal pay, and they've gotten now 70 cents on every dollar that men earn. We're so happy that the Equal Pay Act has worked so well, but now it's time to stop, and let's now worry about men's salaries.
Now a federal judge in Washington will have to decide just how Title IX should be interpreted. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.